Jesus kind of picks a fight with her. He picks a fight with a Phoenician woman, right? A Syrophoenician woman. He says, the crumbs at the table, those are for the dogs. Now, that's what the woman says, but that's kind of what Jesus is getting to. You guys are Gentiles. You're dirtier than dogs. Because unrighteousness is dirty. He wasn't calling that woman names. You know that, right? Because you know the word. So then the woman has faith, and then he rewards her for her faith. You see the point? Because what did the woman do? She chose sides. She said, I don't want to be in the darkness anymore. I don't want to be a Gentile or a Jew. I want to be a Christian, if you want to say those terms. I want to be with Jesus. I want to be with you. I want your help and your favor. Is that what we want, folks? Going forward from here on out to the end of our age, desire nothing else but Christ's goodness and favor. If it costs you every dollar, every relationship, everything, you go after his favor. That's what you want to die with. You want to die with his favor. Because at the end, you're going to be cooing like that little baby. You're going to be at the end like, yeah, I'm in father's arms, right? I'm in daddy's arms. Is that where we want to end up? Yes. I want to end up there. I want to end up there. So I'm going to jump down here a little bit. We'll go back to verse 5. But cleanse your hands. Here's what we do. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be wretched and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will exalt you. Do not speak evil against one another, brothers. So now he's talking to the church. And he's saying, mourn the first thing you do. Because look, he's going to humble you. He's going to exalt you, okay? That's the cooing when you get into the kingdom. That's feeling like this little baby when you get into the kingdom. Everything's going to be grand. But before that, mourn for your sin. Remember, James is one of the first letters that was written. And he's writing to the first part of the church, first section of the church. And they happen to be Jews. And the Jews counted on the law, and they were proud about the law. We keep the law, we do this, and we're right with God. We have the temple. By the way, the Lord said, you don't even have that anymore. I'm going to destroy that. He took everything from them. Why? So he would humble them. By the way, he's going to do that again in the tribulation. He'll humble them. Because the first thing that has to happen is that we humble ourselves before a mighty God, a holy God, a God of light and truth. And we say, I'm not like you. And he says, okay, I know that. I want to make you like me. So humble yourselves, repent, acknowledge your sin. Acknowledge it. Confess your sin. And he is faithful and just to what? Forgive. Everybody knows it. But we have to acknowledge it first. You have to look in the mirror and say, I've told you this before. You make a list. Here's my sins. Here's the ones that keep coming up. Show them to your wife. Don't be afraid. Show them to your soon-to-be wife. Show them. Don't be afraid. Tell them, this follows me through life. I have a battle with this. Don't tell the church. Don't tell everybody. Show them to a friend or two. And be accountable. And say, and then that friend will say, that follows me too. Or, here's mine. Here's what follows me. Here's what keeps chomping at my heel. So we humble ourselves and submit to the Word of God. As we read it, it strikes us, man, that's a problem. And we humble ourselves and we say, Lord, save me from that first. And then second, deliver me. Give me power from above and deliver me. Pick a fight. Remember, I bring this up every once in a while, that movie. The one with Mel Gibson. He says, I'm going to pick a fight. Where are you going? I'm going to pick a fight. Pick a fight. The war's already raging. You don't pick a fight with somebody else. You pick a fight with yourself. I'm gonna, one at a time, I'm gonna knock that thing off. I'm chipping away at that issue. It's greed, coveting, adultery, jealousy, you name it. Whatever it is, pick the fight. So, cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be wretched and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, but only for a time. Because then the Lord's going to lift you up. And remember, Paul, over and over, he says, rejoice. Do you know that when you turn those things over and you're right with God, the Holy Spirit of God, he's going to cause you to rejoice. What makes us frown? Trouble, sin, war, fear, those things make us frown. Perfect love casts out fear. The perfect love of God has washed away those things away, and now we can rejoice. Yes, I still struggle. Yes, I still fight, but now I'm rejoicing. Well, you don't look like it. Well, it's kind of a tough day today, but in my heart, I'm singing. I'm dancing, not very well, but I'm dancing because I love the Lord and I know he loves me. And I count on it because I picked a fight with myself. Romans 7:23, I see in my members. Well, wait a minute, I see in somebody else's members. James will talk about that later. He'll say, don't be judging other people. Now, we'll talk about judgment is another issue. We'll get to that some other day. But the first thing we got to do is I see in my members. I see in my members another law waging war against the law of my mind and making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. My hand wants to do that. My feet wants to go there. My eyes want to look at that. My mind wants to think about that. That pretty much covers it all, right? Smells, maybe, I don't know. That pretty much covers it all. Pick a fight. You're not going there. You're not looking at that website. You're not seeing that girl, seeing that boy. We're not, because we picked a fight. Sin has turned our members against us. My body, my passions, are the same as 100% of the rest of the world. They have the same things, okay? So I'm going to look like them if I go along with my passions. But when you pick a fight, now you've got a problem, right? Because now you've picked a fight with the war and passions in you and the rest of the world. I don't know what percentage is Christian. We can throw numbers out all day if you want. But you got the Christian bunch over here, that's us, right? We're over here, and we picked a fight with ourselves, so now we're struggling, and then we got them struggling against us as well. We got a whole fight going on, don't we? But we need to submit ourselves to the fight and say, I'm going to struggle, and I'm not going there anymore. It's in my house. It's not going to be in my house. What did Joshua say? As for me and my house. Okay, whittle it away, get rid of it, get it out of the house, get it out of my bedroom, out of my bathroom, out of my house, okay? Get it out of my mind and my heart. Pick the fight, because you're going to have a big enough fight with the world already. Remember, they want you to join them. 2 Peter 2:11, behold, I urge you as foreigners and exiles to abstain from the desires of the flesh, which war against your soul. They're warring against your soul. He never says it stops. That war never stops. It never stops. Ask the oldest people in the bunch here. They got the three right up front here. Does the war ever stop? And the answer is no. You can ask them on your own time. We ask him every Tuesday. The war never stops. Pick a fight. Now, James 3, just prior to this, and I appreciate Mark's last two messages, and I'm grateful to have a young voice up here at the pulpit and his sermons the last 2 weeks. Last week, he ended with James 3:18, a harvest of righteousness, a harvest of righteousness. So now you've got a crop, pretend it's the corn out there, right? And how tall is it now? Just how? And you've got this harvest of righteousness. What's it sown by? Peace. It's sown in peace. You are at peace with God, and you are sowing righteousness. And again, this is why we started this series. What is righteousness? Very simple. I'm going to do the right thing. Hey, you in the mirror, we're doing the right thing today. Somebody jumps in your face, somebody tempts you, somebody comes at you, whatever. You can get angry. It's okay to be angry. Don't be wrathful, okay? Don't take vengeance. Vengeance is God's, okay? We can get angry, and we can get in a fight, but it's not a physical fight, remember? And we're going to say, you know what? I'm going to do the right thing. I'm going to say the right thing, all right? Now watch how we pick a fight. This is very important. There are peacemakers and there are peacekeepers. Which one are you? Are you a peacekeeper or a peacemaker? The Bible talks about this. A peacekeeper is one who reacts strongly to a threat. They want to do something about a threat, which is good. And it's an emerging, it might be coming up, and you want to tackle it, you want to damp that down, you want to put a bucket of water on it. They try to prevent an inward war or a smoldering war from flaring up. They fear the consequences of failure. They fear the consequences of that spark becoming a huge fire. And they begin to work in what? Fear. They begin to work in fear, not in truth. They sacrifice doing what is right. They sacrifice righteousness for the sake of peace, for the sake of truth, for the sake of facts. They view compromise as one of the greatest virtues. Now, if I can use a huge example, I'll just talk about Neville Chamberlain. Remember Neville Chamberlain? Who came out of World War I and saw what Germany did and how they conquered Germany and that Germany was rising up and they saw the threat of Germany. And what was Neville Chamberlain? Even though he had all those facts, what did he want to do? He wanted to make peace. He wanted to dampen the flames. He wanted to calm things down between him and Germany. What did Winston Churchill want to do? Pick a fight. Now, folks, listen. When I say pick a fight, there we're talking about guns and wars, all right? There we're talking about tanks and battleships and airplanes and the largest navy in the world. I understand that. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. I understand that, but the concept's the same. Because when you have a problem, you don't keep the peace. You pick a fight so that thing will go away. Judges releasing criminals. We're going to we're going to release him and let him go. I'm trying to be a peacekeeper. We're going to let that person go because out of love. No. No, he's going to serve his sentence. She's going to serve her sentence. Parents, unwilling to address real issues with small or even adult children. Now, I want to be careful here because a man and a woman are supposed to leave their mother and father and cleave unto their spouse, and so their fights are supposed to be ringing in their house. But when they start coming back into your house, pick a fight because it's not your fight anymore. You say, you guys handle it. We'll help where we can. Biblical standards. small children, pick a fight. You're not doing that. You're not acting that way in this house. Or an individual unwilling to address their own issues. Or just some examples of keeping the peace. Keeping the peace allows several things. It allows habits and immorality to embed themselves in a person. It allows others to be drawn into the person's sin. It allows bitterness. You let that thing go for long enough and all of a sudden you get mad. How come I let that go for too long? Or how come that person won't change, or whatever, and it hasn't been confronted with yourself. I haven't confronted myself. I haven't dealt with myself. And you're mad at yourself. And you possibly have a right to. But now, today is the day of salvation. Get on it. One person wants to nip the problem and another doesn't. That causes a problem. A peacekeeper over time regrets not taking action. The individual over time regrets not being acted upon or taking action themselves. And finally, the longer it goes on, the more consequences there are. Enough's enough, right? Enough's enough. I heard, and I guess I'm going to be careful here, but Don Bongino the other day saying, talking about war again, and we're just going to use that as a concept. And remember, I'm not facilitating this kind of stuff. But he's saying, the stuff with Afghanistan, the stuff with some of these other places, they ought to treat them just like Truman did. You know what Truman did? He dropped the bomb. That's horrible. But you know what he did? He saved 1 million lives. Because the Japanese over and over would not stop. Now, he wanted them to stop, and he didn't want to do that, and we don't want to do that, okay? I'm not going there. But that's the concept, to stop the war. Pick a fight. Peacekeepers, over time, regret. Peacemakers, on the other hand, they know a war's there. They know the issue is there, and they know they have to do some things that are uncomfortable. But let's do it now and get it out of the way. They understand the authority of wisdom. They understand the authority of love. They understand the authority of peace. Peace. I want peace. I don't want a simmering, smoldering lie, if you will, an underlying where things just smolder for whatever, however long, and all of a sudden they come up. No. Let's deal with it out of love. Let's do it now. The consequences are going to be much less. The peacemaker has high hopes. They say, man, there's going to be peace. There's going to be wonderful things going forward. If I confront myself, if I confront somebody else, we're going to work this out now because there's going to be great peace and friendship afterwards. I want to be a friend even with myself. I want to be a friend. They don't want the status quo. Repentance is necessary for true peace. How do you become a friend with God? You repent. How do you repent? You confront your sins. Lord, I want to be a friend. Well, woman, you've had 5 husbands and you're living with somebody. Right? Let's put it on the table. And now repent. And what does she do? One of my favorite stories. I love that story. What does she do? This woman who is hiding in the middle of the day, going out to get water all by herself, in the heat of the day, what does she do? She runs into town and tells all the men. Oh, the whole town. She's the first evangelist. She outruns the disciples. She's the first church. I want to meet that woman. She's a hero. And if you want to. They understand. They have high hopes. Hebrews 12:14, strive for peace with everyone and for the holiness without which no one will see the Lord. Do you see what's interesting there? Strive for peace, okay? And holiness? Wait a minute. I got a problem. I'm dark and you're light. I'm going to strive for peace between us, but there's darkness and light. I got a problem. Right? Confront it. Strive for peace. Colossians 2, I think. Jesus made peace, how? Through his blood. Through the blood on the cross. He made peace through blood? Because he strove for it. And he said, this satisfies my Father and reconciles many to him. Jesus never coddled liars. He never coddled the unrighteous. He spoke in love. He looked for peace. He never coddled them. Peacemakers, here's the cautions. You got to walk in humility. You got to walk in love. You got to make sure that that beam is out of your own eye first. Ephesians 4:31, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and slander be put away. And I would say be put away from you first. Along with all malice, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love. Be kind and tenderhearted with one another, forgiving each other. Once you do that, then you forgive. And by the way, that means forgiving yourself. Who in here, don't raise your hand, has never forgiven themselves? You struggled with that sin, you've put it behind you, you keep working on. Have you forgiven yourself? Do that first. Blessed are the peacemakers, not peacekeepers. Peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Finally, or do you not suppose it is to no purpose that the scriptures say he yearns jealously over the spirit that he has made to dwell in us? I'm going to get to that in a second. But he gives more grace. Therefore, it says to God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. He has the Spirit dwelling in you, right? Him himself is living in you. Who do you think he cares about? The temple. If you're the temple of the living God, he is jealous for that temple. And he's going to help you and give you all the power and everything you need to overcome. But you got to pick a fight. You have to fight to make peace in love. Resist the devil. You ain't coming in here. It's not part of my household or my being. We're picking a fight. And then he will flee. Pick a fight. Be in the word. Be in prayer, be on God's side, and what happens? This is lovely. This is lovely. God draws near you. He comes by your side. Have you seen so-and-so? They're fighting for good. They love righteousness. They're on my side. They love my name. And when you do that, he is going to run to your side, like that father, the prodigal son. He's going to run to your side. You've heard the sermon, have you seen God run? Jesus ran. God runs. He runs to your side when you pick a fight for his name's sake. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Son of the living God, we worship you. I appreciate every soul here this morning. I ask you, Lord God, to be with them as they go out into the world, but they are not of the world. They have changed their passions. They take every thought captive. They're working against the soul, those things that war against their souls, Lord. We've chosen sides, and it is you. We praise you for it. You have called us, and you've empowered us by your Holy Spirit. Be jealous over that spirit within us, Lord God. I pray that you comfort every soul here, that you be with them to encourage them. That if they're convicted about it, Lord, it is peace that you're bringing to their hearts. That they're going to convict themselves by the Spirit and take on that fight, Lord, and resist the devil and flee to the tower, the name of God that is a strong tower, and we run to you and we are safe. Thank you, Jesus. We love you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.